I wonder what it is that you daydream about. We've all had that experience, sat there staring out the window, thinking about someone or about something that we're really looking forward to. Maybe it's that person we want to spend time with, or that holiday we're really looking forward to, or going out for dinner with friends. I guess for many of us now, we're just longing for this lockdown to end, and that is filling our thoughts and our minds. But my guess is that we don't often spend those moments thinking about the new creation. It's not that we don't want to, but I think we don't know how to. Well, the aim of this session is to consider why we should want to think about the new creation and how we can do it. This will set us up for using a series of devotional Bible reading notes that we've put together to help us keep thinking about the new creation after this weekend, which I will explain more about at the end of this short talk. To begin with, why do we need to think about the new creation? Well, point one, the New Testament writers tell us we should. The New Testament writers encourage us to think about the new creation. We've seen in our Sunday evening series in Ephesians recently that the way we think is important. Paul prays in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 to 19, that we would know Christ and the hope to which he has called us. Part of this hope is the new creation that we're heading towards. Paul says that God is so committed to us knowing this, that he is working the same power in us that raised Jesus from the dead to help us to know. And Paul describes it as a battle. We saw in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 24, that there isn't a spiritual Switzerland. There is no neutral ground when it comes to our thinking. There is a binary distinction between old self living and thinking and a renewed mind that enables us to live as our new selves. And in Ephesians 6, Paul will speak of the spiritual powers at work to deceive us and convince us that this new creation hope isn't real. And it's not just Ephesians. Thinking about the new creation is a huge theme in the New Testament. In Colossians 3, Paul calls these Christians to set their minds on things above, on heavenly realities about Jesus and the future he will bring in. In Romans 8, Paul tells the Romans to set their minds on things of the Spirit. The Spirit is at work in us to make us like Christ, to be those who are no longer like Adam and sinful, but like Jesus, sinless and glorious, new creations in him. And this includes our minds. As we set our minds on things of the Spirit, that will drive our walking by the Spirit. And we see this principle again in Romans chapter 12. Those who have new life by the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. The things of the Spirit includes the new creation the Spirit is taking us towards, which Paul explains in the second half of Romans chapter 8. Finally, in Philippians 3, Paul talks about pressing on to receive a prize in the future. He has the mindset that his future resurrection and his new creation life in his resurrection body is a prize that he strains forward towards. Now, although these examples are all from Paul's letters, we also see this way of thinking in letters such as 1 Peter and 1 John. The New Testament writers tell us to think about the new creation. And we see in these passages the authors give several reasons why we should think this way. It's the right way of thinking for those who have the Spirit. It makes us more like Jesus, and it helps us appreciate the future we're heading to. And in Philippians, Paul also describes it as being safe for us. And that's our second point. It is safe for you. Thinking about the new creation is the safe way to think. We saw in Ephesians 4 and 6 that there is a real danger that we could be deceived into not thinking about the new creation. We may even be deceived to not think it exists. Paul describes the way of thinking about the new creation that he describes in Philippians 3 as the safe way to think. Now, this isn't safety like a cuddly toy makes a child feel safe at night. It's like having an armed guard that protects you until the end. To set our minds on the new creation is the safe way to think. We see this in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, where the Hebrews are told not to harden their hearts like Israel did in the wilderness. Israel lost sight of God and the land he was taking them to, turning instead to sin, and did not receive their inheritance. Likewise, we are encouraged to fix our eyes on God and the new creation that he is taking us to. Thinking about the new creation now, and what God has told us about it, is one of the means that God uses to get us to the new creation. How kind of God to give us such a glorious future to look forward to and to fix our eyes on, knowing nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love in Christ and that future because of the cross. Let me illustrate this safe way of thinking using a section from a talk by Kevin Van Hooser about C.S. Lewis. Will showed us that the books of C.S. Lewis can help us to appreciate biblical truths. Here, in one of the earlier books in the Narnia series called The Silver Chair, C.S. Lewis illustrates this idea of being deceived by the power of sin, causing us not to believe the true realities of our life, to forget about what God has revealed to us about the new creation. In The Silver Chair, the Queen of the Underland is holding Jill Eustace and Puddleglum captive in her subterranean lair. The Queen tries to convince them that there is no world outside her cavern. She creates an atmosphere thick with a drowsy smell, soft music, and then, like the serpent in the garden, she lies through her teeth. There is no land called Narnia. Puddleglum protests that he has come from up there, and the witch makes the idea seem ridiculous. Is there a country up among the stones and mortars of the roof? Jill begins to succumb to the spell, saying, "No, I suppose that other world must be all a dream." "Yes," says the witch, there never was any world but mine." With the last of her waking strength, Jill suddenly remembers Aslan, a character like Jesus. But the witch responds that a lion is only a big cat. "And look how you can put nothing into your make-believe world without copying it from the real world, this world of mine, which is the only world." Just before they all nod off for good, Puddleglum stamps his foot in the fire. This clears his head sufficiently for him to give the following speech. "Suppose we have only dreamed or made up all those things, trees and grass and sun and Aslan. Suppose we have. Then all I can say is that in that case the made-up things seem a good deal more important than the real ones. I'm going to live as like a Narnian as I can, even if there isn't any Narnia." Do you see the point? The power of sin can deceive us into thinking there is no new creation. We must be like the character Puddleglum and set our minds on the realities God has revealed to us. The safe way to think is to think about the new creation. Thirdly, we must think about the new creation because it's how the people of faith think. Thinking about the new creation is not just a command for New Testament believers. In Hebrews 11, we saw that those of faith in the Old Testament were longing for their homeland, the new creation. the people of faith had hope, a conviction of things unseen. They believed in and had their minds set on the new creation, which meant they acted in the present in light of the future. Well, I want to take us on a brief sidebar and ask what we actually mean by thinking. We may think from what I've said so far that thinking about the new creation is just about knowing it exists. But thinking about the new creation isn't just an intellectual thing. It isn't just ticking off a checklist of things. I spoke at the beginning about daydreaming and how it would be wonderful to spend time daydreaming about the new creation. But even that is too small a view for how the Bible understands how we use our minds. We saw in Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1 that Paul wants the eyes of our hearts to be enlightened. The heart in the Bible is the very core of our being. The heart and mind in the Bible shapes our attitudes, our whole view of the world. They're the lens through which we see life. It's what we treasure and long for. It includes our imaginations, the greatest desire of our hearts, everything we think and feel and long for. We know that our minds are more complicated than just a series of thoughts or things that we know. And God wants all these aspects of our hearts and minds to be used to think about the new creation. To let the whole of our hearts and minds, every facet of them, be set on and oriented around the new creation. This is what it means to have our minds set on the new creation. As we try to use and let the Bible shape our view of the new creation, or think about how the Bible might impact our view of the new creation, the purpose the Bible authors had when they wrote their Bible books will be achieved in us. Thinking this way about the new creation is how the purpose of the Bible authors is achieved in us. This is our fourth point, if you're following through on the handout. Let me explain what I mean using an example. Isaiah chapter 25 is a passage I hope we are familiar with. Isaiah writes chapter 25, describing the new creation as a place of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well refined. This picture is given to Judah, who are probably living in a basic farming community, at a time of war or in exile. Isaiah gives them this picture, so they will want to be in the new creation, not just to tell them the new creation is coming, but to make them want to be there. Now, to make them want it, Isaiah paints a picture that will appeal to them. Now, to me, well-aged wine and rich marrow doesn't sound that appealing. I don't really like the taste of wine, and I'm going off steak. But I think Isaiah would be happy for me to imagine the rich food at this glorious feast. To think about a feast with foods I most enjoy in the world. Bakewell tart, white chocolate, jacket potatoes, carrots, chicken goujons, fish and chips. Maybe this is a window into my rather basic culinary taste. But that is rich, wonderful, tasty food for me. And as I think about enjoying feasting on them at a feast with all peoples at a glorious banquet together, that helps me in a small way to long for the new creation. Using my mind to think and imagine what this scene will be like, in line with Isaiah's purpose, will help achieve Isaiah's purpose of making me want to be at that feast. But without engaging the different facets of my mind, the picture won't excite me like it should. Isaiah wants to win our hearts and minds to want the new creation. Isaiah's purpose won't be achieved in me if I don't think as Isaiah sets me up to think. Thinking like this, in line with Isaiah's purpose, more and more, will mean all our thoughts are captivated by the new creation. I want to caveat at this point and say that all of this is, of course, God's work. We aren't trying to muster up extra feelings from within. It is reading and understanding what the Bible text means. It is setting our minds on these things as the Bible authors command us. It is letting God's word achieve its purpose in us. Psalm 1 calls us to meditate on the law of the Lord. This is doing just that. Now, this isn't airy-fairy thinking or sat in a room, legs crossed, meditating like a hippie. The Bible authors give truths about the new creation, pictures of the new creation to think about. These pictures and truths about the new creation give us something to set our sights on. They reset our minds so we believe the true realities of the universe. So our longings are for the new creation. God's word is all sufficient to get us to the new creation. Therefore, we need to dwell on and understand these pictures. We need to think and imagine what these pictures mean. Now, this way of thinking about the Bible may be new to us, or we may not often do it, or we may not have done it when it comes to the new creation. As we start thinking about the new creation, we may not always be accurate in what we think about the new creation, but it's better to begin thinking, then correct our thinking later on, than never to try setting our minds on the new creation. It was better for Israel to think about the land they were heading to and be corrected when they got there than to never think about it and risk never arriving. But how can we let the Bible shape our longings, our desires, our thinking? How can our view of the world become more new creation centred? Well, we've put some devotional materials together to help us do that. They won't cover every aspect of our thinking, but we hope they begin this work of thinking about the Bible, using more and more of our hearts and minds to think about the new creation in different ways, along with praying and asking for God's help. This will help us increasingly to set our minds on the new creation, on the hope to which God has called us. As we think about the Bible, what it says, what it means, understanding and appreciating what God has prepared for us in the new creation, by thinking about, dwelling on, and filling out the biblical pictures of the new creation in our mind, it is my prayer that God will be shaping our hearts, desires, longings, our whole lives towards the new creation. As we think about and weigh up what we long for, more and more as we understand how great the new creation is, will we want to live as citizens of heaven. We will see the new creation as a prize. We will truly treasure it and want to lay up treasure there. It will be the most important thing to us. It is my hope that these devotionals will be the beginning of a lifetime thinking about the new creation. But you may say, isn't this all just a bit intense? Or it sounds hard to think this way. Some of this may seem intense, or even simple, or trite. But I hope I've convinced you in this talk that setting our whole heart and mind on the new creation is something important to do. So I hope we'll try this and grow in doing this. I hope it will not feel like a chore, but a joy. As you long to be with a person, long for a holiday, long for a day out, long for a delicious meal, it should be something we enjoy thinking about because it's so good. It may feel hard to begin with, but I hope it will be a wonderful new habit for us to get into. At a time like this, it's so easy for us to long to return to normality, to get back to the comforts that we've been so used to for so long in our lives. And while that isn't wrong, the Bible calls us to long for something even greater. And it's my hope and prayer that this time in isolation, of disappointment and frustration, will give us a desire to be in God's new creation. I hope we will not be longing for a return to normality, but for the new creation. So let me briefly explain the set of 14 daily Bible reading notes or devotionals which we've put together to give us a chance to keep thinking about the new creation. Each day has a Bible passage about an aspect of the new creation. We then have three suggestions for things you could do to think about the new creation. One is a question to help think about and understand what the passage says. There is then an activity to do to help you think further about what the passage means. These range from writing a list of things that will or won't be in the new creation, to imagine what something will be like in the new creation, to looking at an everyday situation and thinking about how it will be different in the new creation, or how we could think about that everyday situation differently to help us appreciate the new creation. We then have a similar activity that you could do during the rest of the day. This is followed by a suggested prayer so you can respond to God about what you've seen, and a song that reflects on the Bible passage or a theme in it. There are then some suggestions for further thinking if you have the time or you want to. Our suggestion is that you spend 15 minutes a day using these. We suggest trying days 1 to 7 as soon as you can after the weekend to help keep thinking about the new creation. We would have done some of this thinking in this session on the weekend, so I hope you see the first 7 days as part of the weekend and not an optional extra. It will help the purpose of the weekend be achieved in us. Days 8 to 14 were added to give you more to think about if you enjoyed days 1 to 7. They cover similar themes to days 1 to 7, but with new ways to push forward our thinking about the new creation.